I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I got Jenny and Lindsay in this bitch, girl. Make you move your hips while sipping gin, girl. Make you bounce your tits like it's a jig, girl. Like boom, sip kombucha for your boom. Hennessy squad link up, it's like boom. The girls be giving you vibes. Tune in, chill out, and feel good inside. Like it girls.
Hey girls. We have a little Thursday drink.
We unfortunately do.
What's up with me?
Time of year, it's flu season.
It's this time of year. I'm already in party season.
Yeah.
I'm having a few drinks. I'm being a little silly lately, so my immune system is down.
Yeah. So I'm sick. Kids as well. I think when you have kids, when you're around kids, I'd say any like teachers out there would fucking understand, because anyone I know who's a teacher is just constantly bloody sick. But speaking of silly season. I hear a rumor that one of the best nights in all of December, two nights in a row actually, is coming up. And we are obviously doing our live show. I know you're probably sick of hearing us talking about it, but we're not sick of talking about it. So come see us live. We're performing on the 4th of December in the Sugar Club. I think there's less than like 40 tickets left. There's not that many. It's going to sell out. We've been pretty much told by the ticket sales. So pick up your tickets.
Yeah, so the reason that we're saying it again is because we know, which is what happened last time with the live show, that you guys kind of maybe put it on the long finger a little bit, and then people were dying for tickets on the day of the show or the day before, and there was this kind of scramble and, you know, drama around people trying to get tickets in the last few minutes, half hour before the show, people were still looking for tickets. So we want you to be prepared, obviously. It's really fun to have a night out prepared.
Yeah.
That you know you're going to have that night with your girdles, with your fella, with whoever.
And what better way to start off December? We all know every week in December we all have something. So as December ticks, ticks, ticks away, it's harder to get your plans. People always want to see it. This is an easy way. I know, you know, a lot of people have girls' nights with their friends for Christmas. Here's an easy one. You guys can come in, Sugar Club. It's going to be, there'll be seats. There's a bar. There'll be entertainment. It's not going to be over too late. So, you know, don't be worrying about getting, you know, staying out till 4 a.m.
And it's super cheap. It's 20 euros. So I think that's within, like, you know, it's really good value for what we're offering.
Yeah.
We just fine-tuned the show.
Oh my God, we wrote the show.
Before we recorded.
It's
and it
going
is,
to be,
I mean,
hilarious.
We're dying to perform it. There's nothing like this. And I think we made sure that it's going to just be able to be like resonating with lots of different people.
For
it's
sure.
Not just for the It Gals fan in any which way. So if you have like friends from school who you're not really sure what to do with for your Christmas party or, you know, that kind of thing, haven't seen some girls in a while, or else you want to bring your bestos out, this is the perfect thing for it.
For sure. So go get your tickets, ticketmaster.com or the link in our bio on our Instagram. Pick them up. Let us know. A lot of tickets have been arriving. We're loving seeing the snaps coming in of the hard tickets, the hard tickets, you know, the like not internet
the boner
tickets.
Ticket. Yep. The physical tickets.
Physical tickets. The really stiffy. People,
the erect tickets.
They are erect. People getting them. It's really fun seeing them come in. So we're dying to see that. Second of all, we would obviously also enjoy to plug our Patreon. We have a second podcast, which is X-Rated It Gals. It's called
X-Gals. And we have been loving recording that for you. We have done, it's definitely just already kind of migrated to be this super highly sexed podcast.
Yeah.
It's just about intimate, more intimate things. Period sex, condoms, tampons.
Lindsay and
faking
I faked
orgasms.
An orgasm on air last week. So it is $6 a month plus tax. So you guys can either, you can sign up now or you can wait till the first of next month as well, because you're charged at the start of every month. But when you sign up, you get all of the episodes we have, so you don't have to wait for a new one.
Yeah, so you get the backlog.
You get the backlog. I think there's like, we're going to record on tonight, so I think there might be 7 episodes up. So if you want twice as much It Gals, this is your shit. It's patreon.com/It Gals podcast, and let us know if you sign up.
Thank you, gals. So,
we're having a bit of a chill one today. We are
stripping it back, hunts.
Yeah, we're just going to have a little bit of a chit chat. Kind of a chit chat, get ready with me, except for we're not getting ready.
Because again, for the second week in a row, we weren't sure.
I know.
If I could bloody record.
I know.
Luna has just been going to crash, and it always happens. Like, she's obviously been there since September, but I feel those first few months when she's in crash.
November, too.
Yeah.
The weather changes suddenly.
The weather change, and like her immune system, I mean, she lives off coca noodles. So I don't think she, you know, she's healthy enough, but like, she, whatever.
Yeah.
Mammy shite. Yeah. But yeah, so she's been going to school. All the kids are breathing on each other and like wiping each other's snot. Ugh, they're just being fucking gross, to be honest. I collect her and she has like snot encrusted on her forehead. Probably not hers. Yeah. I'm like,
snot up her sleeve. Do you remember kids like that and snot on the sleeve?
Or that red Ribena lip. Because like, you know when at the beginnings of getting sick when your lips are dry.
And kids lick their lips.
Yeah, they're like, bleh, bleh, bleh. It's like, honey, just I'll put a little labello in your pocket there.
Balm.
You need a balm. But you got kids with balm is so annoying because like she'll be like, my lips are sore, and I'm like, okay, you need a balm, honey. And I'll put it on her, and she's like, and she's like, the texture, whatever. She's like, the balm is gone, or else she's like, I don't like it. I don't like it. Get it off. I'm like, oh, why do you want these crusty ass lips? I'll have to face tune you, hon.
I know. I remember that being a kid as well. Oh, I used to get the worst, like, because I'm a lick lipper, lip licker.
Lip smacker.
I'm like a lip smacker. Like, as in, like, when I wear lipstick and stuff, it's just, I eat it all. It's all off my mouth very quickly. I'm not one of those people who can keep on lipstick for ages. Mm. But I remember when I was a kid, I would always just, you know, that rash between your nose and your lip. Like, yeah. From around the age of 8, you always get that. It's just like rusted, crusted, busted, kind of like,
yeah,
like, and like, I swam as well. I was a swimmer, so I was in chlorine, and that dries it out. Oh, that's like my memories.
I think like kids just don't really mind if they have a constant stream of wet snot from their nose. They'll just let it be, and then it will just make the horrendous red thing.
They just tee-hee, lick it off.
So like, she's been coming back coughing and spluttering, and she's just doing this annoying thing where she's creeping into my bed every night. And I'm able to avoid it during the day because I'm like, block your mouth, or I'm just like avoiding her when I can. I can see her just about to heave up a horrendous cough. I'll be like, like, duck out of the way so it's not in my direction. But then she'll creep into my bed, and obviously throughout the night she's in my bed, she's like coughing right into my mouth that is probably open while I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
So I wake up and then I'm like, ugh.
And then she's better.
Yeah, then she's like, yeah, I'm not sick anymore. It's like, yeah, because you just literally gave it to me. And now I have it.
So, joys of motherhood.
But actually, shout out to Caroline O'Connor, who gave me a little tip. She was saying she has just started taking iron supplements, along with vitamin C, which apparently if you, with iron supplements, you're told to like drink orange juice because vitamin C helps soak up the iron. And she was like, since I've been taking it, my energy levels have been up. It's really helping boost my immune system for the cold winter months. So, honeys, I'm going to try that.
So that's zinc with vitamin C.
No, it's iron.
Oh.
Maybe zinc as well, yeah.
Yeah, maybe do the similar thing. Because I know, you know the way you can buy the vitamin C with zinc? Because zinc helps you absorb vitamin C or something.
I think vitamin C actually is one of the, I don't know, it helps absorb stuff in general. Just
vitamins and minerals
and stuff. But yeah, iron definitely, because I don't eat red meat. Unless I was eating probably like...
Unless she was at my birthday and she was hoofing down.
I had one divine. I know.
That was gas.
That was gas. Because literally the next day I was like, I mean, I haven't eaten red meat. Six years.
I was like, Lindsay, you were loving that brisket last night.
I know. I was like, oh shit, forgot about that. Drunkenly like freaking ramming that divine tender meat.
Is that some of the big news? Happy birthday to me on Sunday.
Happy birthday to Jenny.
I would like to formally retract everything I said in the birthday bitches episode. Being a birthday bitch is fantastic. I see why people do it. I loved it. I got presents. I got attention. I had 2 weekends. I did it all. I made all my friends come out for a meal.
You had a B-day dress.
I had 2 B-day dresses. Well, one I'd already worn before, so a dress and a half. I mean, I had the boyfriend night, I had the friend night.
We had the birthday WhatsApp.
I had the birthday WhatsApp group. I did. Yes. I had pre-drinks. I bought snacks.
Prosecco was there.
Two bottles of Prosecco. I mean, I went all out. It's my last year in my 20s.
Yeah.
So that's
welcome to the dark side, baby.
I know. I'm actually kind of excited to turn 30. I think 30.
I got like that when I was 29. I was like, I'm kind of ready. I'm ready.
I'm like, 30 is hot.
It is hot.
It's hot to be 30. Like, it just is.
It is. It's like, hi, I'm more mature than you.
I remember my friend Kim telling me that. I worked with her years ago. And I remember I was 26-ish. I'm gonna get that.
She's probably, sorry, it's Luna dropping.
It's dropping something. Yeah. I was 26 and she, I think I was turning 27 or turning 26. And I was like, like, you know that fucking when you're 25, it seems insane to be 26.
I think
26.
You moan a lot more when you're in your kind of that years.
Yeah, you just, I
feel like, oh my God, I'm so old. Like, everyone's always saying that when they're like 24.
So old, 23.
I'm so old. It's like,
okay. And I remember Kim was just like, Jenny, like, I was like, what's it like to turn 30? It must be so bad. She was so like, 33. I know, so fucking rude.
And it must be horrible for
Kim. Kim was like, 30 was the best year of my life. And every year since then has been better. She's like, I had this exact same feeling. She's like, when I was in my 20s, I was just always dreading turning 30. She's like, if I knew then what I knew now, I would be like, get rid of this shite.
Yeah.
And move me on to 30. So I will say that to girlies out there, if you are feeling, I know we've got a lot of like 25-ish year old listeners, it's way better this side of 25.
It is. I have loved being in my 30s. I'm obviously 31, going to be 32 in March, but I was so happy to do the crossover into the 30s.
Yeah.
I was ready to say goodbye to my 20s because the 20s just feels like such a long time scape of like, you know, you're still kind of in college, you're still quite young, and then you're kind of becoming in your mid-20s where you feel a bit more mature. But I think when you cross over to the 30s, it's like you can leave all that like amateur juvenile stuff behind that kind of happens in your first years of college and stuff. And you're just kind of, I don't know, you feel a bit more mature and a bit more like confident.
Bit more, I think you just know yourself because I guess like you've only been alive like, you know, when you're coming up to 30, you've been alive like 3 decades. Your first decade, I mean, who the fuck knows what the hell happened then. Second decade is like awkward teenage years where like you don't know yourself. You're kind of figuring out the world rather than yourself. Then in your 20s, you kind of go more insular and you kind of get to know yourself more.
Mm.
You kind of figure out your pals. So I think you just do so much growing in your 20s.
Yeah, you learn so much that then you can kind of put into action.
Yeah, in so the 30s. You're kind of just ready for it, you know, that way.
And then I think 40 is sexy too.
Oh, 40 is hot, hon.
40 is just like, oh, darling, I know it all.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I'm
41. I'm successful and I'm bopping around.
There's nothing hotter than a sexy 40-year-old woman. I'm sorry. When you see a woman who is like in her early 40s and she is a smoking hottie, you're just like,
yeah,
I want to be that now. Like
that oozing confidence as in like, I've been around, darling, I know. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I've got a sex
and
appetite.
And it kind of then, an appetite 40s
sex
gorge.
That no man can keep up with. Yeah. Like, they're always so sexual because like they're growing into menopause.
I think I heard something about the 30s that's when women are like at their most...
Early 40s. That's what I heard.
So that's when we're like
the high, super like horniest.
Yeah, that's what the word I was looking for. Like not horniest. There's another word like sexually active.
Yeah, it's like your sexual prime.
It's younger for men, is it?
Yeah, men hit. See, I think what it apparently they think for men it is it's so like biologically, I guess, to kind of like encourage them to breed. You know, that way if you're like horny when you're like in your 20s, you know, back in the cave days, whatever, you'd be having a lot of babies.
Yeah.
And then women are horniest in their 40s, which is random because like, dangerous to have children then, you know, a lot of I guess I think it's something to do with your like progesterone and estrogen,
maybe it could be a kind of thing where like you're like you know, women are enjoying sex more. It's not seen as a like,
you're not like procreating self-conscious kind of as well, you know, that way. But yeah, I mean, that's my I got Botox. That is another thing I got on my forehead.
Tell us a little bit about that. It's preventative. Botox.
So all Botox is preventative.
Okay, yeah.
I think that some people just sell it differently.
Like, so if you have say if you are in your 40s and you really have kind of like quite obvious lines in your forehead or whatever,
it'll stop them getting worse. But one thing that the doctor, I went to a SISU clinic.
SISU.
No, they didn't. I got the treatment free because I talked about it on social, but like they didn't ask me to do a podcast about it or anything.
Yeah.
So just so you guys know, it's not an ad or whatever. They were telling me, because I was kind of asking those questions because like I think there's just, I wanted to give like factual information as well on the Instagram or whatever. But apparently 27 is the sweet spot to start getting Botox.
Okay.
I didn't know this. Beauty fact I didn't know. I'm willing to admit. the girl told me in there that apparently at 27 is when your collagen starts to break down quicker than it replenishes.
Okay.
So that's how I noticed that when I was about 27. I was like, oh, there's like actual lines that are staying there now.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, not wrinkles, but just kind of
fine lines.
Dents and lines. Yeah, fine lines, yeah. You know, from your nose to your mouth, like that kind of
the
gets
smile a, lines were just kind of
small little things that you're like, oh, that's that way. Like my right eyebrow started to randomly start sloping down.
I noticed it on, I think, around my eyes a little bit more probably. I've not got Botox yet. I'm considering it. I was like considering it, but then Jenny actually knows more about it than I. I've not really researched too much into it, but like since talking to Jenny about it, which what I found interesting from talking about it to you is stuff like it's basically just a muscle relaxant.
Yeah, it just like the way the doctor explained to me, it kind of made sense to me a lot. He was like, you know those big exercise balls?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, imagine an exercise ball in between two swinging doors, and the two swinging doors are the skin making a wrinkle. He's like, it just stops them touching.
Mm-hmm.
It just acts as a barrier for those muscles to kind of just not be able to make that little fold that makes a wrinkle.
Yeah.
Because
you can see it. I mean, before Jenny has always been quite expressive with her forehead. So when Jenny would be talking, your forehead would be going into those folds. And now you can't do that.
Yeah. But it's still quite natural, I feel.
Oh,
like
no, it definitely still looks. I wouldn't, like, it's not something that's obvious.
Yeah.
Even if you were looking for it, I don't think you would notice. It's just
no, it's just, it's subtle
because your eyebrows still move, so you don't look frozen.
I can move my eyebrows, which I was worried about because that was something I was like, oh, are they gonna look completely like, am I gonna be like, you know, with my eyebrows halfway up my feckin' forehead? But then it's not like that at all. It's really I will say, if you do go to get it, this is where I was beginner's, what's the word term, beginner's mistake, whatever. They were like, oh, there is like a chance that you will get like a bad headache. Because like, I think when, because it's all the muscles in your head, when like the toxin goes into your muscles, I guess it's like, oh, what's happening? And they're freezing and basically a lot of shit going on there. You can get a really bad headache. And I was like, I won't get that. I don't get side effects. Dear God. I was up all night. I had no painkillers in my house. This is my mistake.
Yeah.
I was like, I won't get that. I don't need to get Panadol. I couldn't sleep. It was literally like a migraine from hell. So if you do get it, fucking buy painkillers. Because apparently he was like, take one paracetamol and it'll work. Of course, me, smug as ever, decided I won't get
Sometimes
that.
They say it though. They're kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, there are slight side effects. Yeah. But not everyone gets them in a year. Just think, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, grand.
So how often do you have to get it? Every
3 months.
Every 3 months.
Yeah, so that was.
And you build it up like you do the lip fillers?
Yeah, so like he was kind of saying, he was like, it lasts 3 months and that's it, full stop. He said, if anyone tells you they have a Botox that lasts 6 months, they're lying. He was like, if I could develop a Botox that lasts 6 months, I would be a millionaire and I would not be standing here. You know, he was like, it lasts 3 months. That's as long as the toxin can last. However, he said, you will still see the muscle won't fully wake up maybe for months, you know, that way, like, it's like it'll wear off after 3 months, the toxin won't be there anymore, but like, because you've kind of trained the muscle not to move, it won't move, you know, that way. So he said, for your first year, it's quite important to kind of go every 3 months, because that will just really train your forehead not to move as much, and it'll really
not to express itself in that way,
and you won't re-get the wrinkles basically that you might have kind of grown. So yeah, I'm excited to see, because it is interesting. Like, I think there is like a lot of misconceptions about it that I even had, you know, that way.
And also, what were you saying? Two more things. So one thing, which I thought was interesting, you were saying that like Botox is made in Ireland.
Yeah, so I asked him that today. So I think he said one of the companies with the biggest distributors for Botox in the world is made in Mayo. Which
there you
I kind
of
yeah, there you go, Mayo girlies.
Yeah.
We don't get a discount. I thought that was rude.
Very rude.
Show me rude.
But I do like to know that it's homegrown. This is not being flown in from, you know, somewhere mad.
And that's why it's actually quite cheap to get Botox in Ireland, because it's obviously not importing it in.
And I think the most important thing to stress for Botox is that it has to be administrated by a doctor.
If anyone who isn't a licensed doctor tells you they have Botox, they don't have Botox, or they've gotten it back alley. That's just flat out. It's like someone going up to you and being like, oh, you want opioids, I can get you a few, like your hairdresser. Would you buy your prescription off your hairdresser? Would you buy the pill off your hairdresser?
Or it's like, you know, you could ask a hairdresser, what hair dye do you use in the salon?
Yeah.
And go into Terry Sales or whatever and buy the same thing and do it on your mate.
Mm.
Like, it's just...
But like, even if someone had their hands on something that they thought was Botox and they're not a doctor, like, that means they're not buying it from a pharmaceutical company, like, where the fuck are they buying it? Like, you physically can't buy it anywhere. You have to go through, like, Pfizer.
You have to make sure that it is Botox that they're using.
Yeah.
Because I was actually watching, in my Pete Burns obsession, I was watching just the story of his whole lips and happened with that. And he was saying that he went to, like, the top lip surgeon in London. Everyone was getting...
they were, like, implants as well. They were
implants, like, that were going to be permanent. But when he went in and the doctor was like, look, I've been using so-and-so, mm-hmm. but I don't have any of that today. What I do have is this, another thing. And he was like, it's completely the same. It's totally safe, yada, yada, yada. And Pete was like, yeah, whatever. Trusted the doctor completely. Mm-hmm. And whatever this other thing that he'd put into his lips basically just migrated underneath his whole face, up to his cheekbones, up behind his eye. And he had to spend 18 months getting, like, surgery in bloody Italy.
Oh, my God.
A face reconstruction. So it's kind of like, just make sure that what you're getting is Botox, or what you're getting, like, you know, research with any kind of,
and don't be afraid to ask them to show you the needle and stuff. Like, they will show you. You're in your right if you're in there with a doctor, even if they're, because mm-hmm. they prepare it in front of you. They should, mm-hmm. because that means it's a fresh needle, you know. You should see them take the needle out of a packet and all that kind of stuff. Like, you can literally be like, can I see that? You know, it'll say Botoxilium, or I think it's the full term.
And research the kind of, even same with lip fillers, like that, the specific fillers.
Yeah, like Juvederm, you should see that from, if you're getting your lips done, you should see it come out. It comes in a cardboard box. Every time I've got it done, they show you, it comes in a cardboard box. They take it out of the cardboard box. It's in a sealed kind of thing. They take the needle out of that, and then they should be throwing that needle away after you.
So Juvederm and Botox. So they're
they're like commonly used. Yeah, I think Restylane for lips too, and Everderm. I've had those three. But yeah, I mean, like, Cece or Daddy, and they're
doctor led.
Yeah, I think. So only doctors do the injectables. There's no nurses or anything. There's nothing anything wrong with that, but at least you know there's doctors. And
they also do facials and stuff like that. So that's obviously not doctors.
Yeah, but one thing that it did say to me that I thought was Daddy, where they were like, I was like, oh, this is actually, it's kind of gives you, makes you a bit relaxed. Like, he was like, look, I'm a doctor, and the minute you enter here, you're my patient. Like, you're not my client. Like, you're a patient of mine. Like,
yeah,
you know, that way. And that just does hold a bigger weight. And you get a 2 week, I just had my 2 week follow-up appointment, which I've never had anywhere, which is so cool.
That's really cool.
Because, like, basically I went in, they give you the standard amount, and then you go in after 2 weeks.
So that's free. So you pay, how much do you think it would be?
I'm not sure, actually. I should ask them, but I know you do get, like, the consultation there is free too. Like, if you just want a consultation, then you don't want
And then you get the price, and the follow-up would be complimentary.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's complimentary. And they just kind of look at you, and then they go, oh, you might need a little tweak here, and then that goes into your file, and that becomes your dosage, because it's kind of tailor-made to your face and how you express.
It's not one size fits all. Yeah,
which is just, I just think that's deadly, because so many places are like that. And yeah, I really would recommend them. Of course, if you go, just decide to go anywhere else, just, I would make sure for lips that you're at least going to a cosmetic nurse. They're allowed to administer and buy filler safely, but Botox has to be a doctor.
Okay.
So that would just be something that I think most people were kind of confused over. I don't think a lot of people know that, which is just, you know, it's alarming. I mean, he told me this one story. Oh my God. Bit of juice, girlies.
Eek.
He was like, because I was talking about the filler and all the people getting the mad fillers, and he was like, oh my God, this killed me. He said some girl came in and was like, oh, I got under eye fillers. And she was like, I just want to get, because this is another thing, I didn't know this, with fillers, anyone could administer it, but only a doctor can dissolve it. Yeah. So if you get your lips done by a hairdresser and something's going wrong, you have to go to a doctor to dissolve it, and most doctors won't touch you if they haven't administered it, because
it's someone else's, it's work. Just,
they don't know what the fuck is in your lip.
Mm.
You can buy this shit off AliExpress, apparently. Like,
yeah.
So he said one girl came in with it under her eye, and like, he had to. He said it was so, it was really close to a nerve, and if it was administered any, like a millimeter closer, she would have been blind. And he heard of another girl who went in to a doctor. And she wanted to get her lips done. And he was like, oh, where did you get it? This is a different doctor, I think. He was like, where did you get it done? And she's like, I got it done in a hairdresser. Oof. And they put the filler in. She didn't like it. She went back in and said, can you take this out? They cut her lip open with the scissors and squeezed it out. And the doctor couldn't put filler in her lips again because the scar tissue was so thick.
She had a big scar then forever.
Yeah. Obviously in the back of her lip now, you couldn't see it, but he said the scar tissue was so thick, he was like,
but that must have been so painful for ages.
Squeezed it.
Oh my God.
So If somewhere is selling, if someone is selling, like one thing, like a sentence you should never see: cheap lip fillers, cheap Botox, get mm-hmm. cheap shoes, get a cheap dress, get a bargain on your
Who
bag.
Who wants a cheap? Like it's your face. It's your
you
face.
You only get one.
And like it's yeah, just research. And this is why, like, we actually reached out to Sisu. They didn't reach out to us.
Yeah.
We kind of we saw that on Instagram that they were doctor led. We just were looking at their Instagram, and they looked just. Like they knew their shit.
Yeah, and they
we
were new
really
and stuff,
followed
which
the doctor
cool.
led.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Because
so, that was just a little tidbit, girly. So that I'm trying to, I said to the doctor, I was like, you know, turning 29, trying to stay looking 28. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to consider it. I'm not as expressive with my forehead.
Yeah.
But I do, I definitely have it in between my eyebrows. That's yeah. more where I would express myself.
You said you're kind of one or the other, apparently. You're
yeah.
either up or frowning. And
yeah.
You frown more than you would.
Yeah.
You don't really
Even when I'm concentrating,
up.
I'll notice. I'm like, oh, I'm really tensing that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so moving on, girlies.
Bit of goss. What are we going to talk about? Oh,
we're
going to
talk about,
or are we
yeah.
going to talk about the Connor stuff first?
Yeah, we have two little topics that were hot this week. Hot off the press.
So
the, okay, well, the Connor McGregor thing. Let's start with that.
That's extremely juicy, yeah. So what's going on here?
Well, this has been going on for, I'd say, a year.
Mm.
Terry Murray X on Instagram, a year ago, was putting up, basically, Conor McGregor was in Liverpool. This woman is from Liverpool. And she was putting up stuff like a picture of her in a Rolls Royce. She was tagging Dee Devlin. She then put up a picture of him or of her in like these designer glasses that Conor had been photographed in before. And then she put up a selfie of her wearing this custom made Louis Vuitton monogram kind of shirt and captioned it with something like, "I think it looks better on me than on the floor."
Okay.
And tagged Conor McGregor and Dee Devlin. So she was doing this and it kind of got a little bit of attention. Kind of
I remember
like,
on
Mazzy this?
Drink, people were talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they were talking about it and that and I don't know, a few of the usual like Insta pages and that kind of stuff, the
yeah.
gossipy pages. But it didn't catch like a massive amount of fire because around that time there was a lot of drama going around about Conor. Mm. There was his car photographed outside someone's house and WhatsApp things being shared and videos of him at parties and all this just constant drama that was surrounding him.
Yeah.
And then he was also just doing mad stuff in his public image with Rita Ora. With it was just a constant slew of things. So I think it was just like...
And it was also, I mean, this is right. It was right after the whole fight with Mayweather. So I just mean in terms of like Conor McGregor was so in the spotlight, like you couldn't
yeah.
get away from... And he was also like... I guess Conor McGregor is a bit of an interesting character because he kind of went from being like Ireland's golden boy to kind of the bad boy. You know, that way he's
yeah.
kind of had a bit of a dichotomy in his thing where he could do no wrong and now he can do no right kind of thing, you know. So this was kind of coming out with the whole, dare I say, downfall in the public eye.
Yeah, totally. And I think, I mean, with regards to this girl, I don't think people took her totally seriously
no,
because
no.
it was just so ballsy.
It's just, I mean, I said it to you earlier.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is probably rude. People probably hate me for it. But like, there is just always, and I'm not saying they're always lying, but whenever like someone comes out of the woodwork and a regular person, right, and comes out of the woodwork and accuses a celebrity of some sort of discrepancy like this, you know,
mm-hmm.
be it a woman saying that you're the father of my child, or be it like a man coming to a woman and saying, I don't know, she robbed my car. You know, there's just always a bit of a like, skepticism when like Conor McGregor has just done a match and he's made 70 million euro on
yeah.
it. You know, you're just always kind of like, okay.
And there's still, I mean, I guess people were kind of like, it isn't proof. Yes, no. She's wearing the glasses, she's in the car, and she's wearing the Louis Vuitton shirt, which is a lot of, air quote, proof, but it isn't physical proof. It could have just been she was in the car, they were at an after sesh, we know he's a bit of a sesher. It's not genuine, like, proof.
Yeah, it's not like that, like... was it Ozzy or Argento when there was like that whole thing with the 17-year-old boy and everyone's
picture
like,
of them in the bed.
Literally them in bed. It was like, oh, okay.
And then texts where she had texted Rose McGowan's partner being like,
I fucked him.
Yeah. So that was like genuine proof. You could pin her to it.
Yeah.
Like, this was just kind of like, and just the way the girl was going about it just seemed so brazen.
Mm.
It was kind of like too brazen to even believe it. You know, it just seemed like, whoa, this girl's after something. Yeah. She did it in that way.
Yeah.
And then she started coming out that she's pregnant, that she's due, and all this stuff was going on the Mazzy Drink page, all the other pages, you know, being like, oh, it matches up. She's this month, many months pregnant. Poor D. Anyway, that was all forgotten about until yesterday when she went on Instagram and she started sharing screen grabs of conversations she's had with Connor, being like, you're fucked, she's the image of you. And he's kind of writing back, it's all love, Terry. So he's writing back, they're having a conversation, and obviously Conor McGregor, I'm sure, has, you know, thousands of messages constantly coming in. So like, they had, you know, he'd accepted her request and he was responding to her.
If
and
he has in some DMs way, open.
Well, he was writing to her like back then. Like, I mean, however,
well, yeah,
they obviously had a form of a relationship.
The
way he was talking to her.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's from Liverpool, so she's a Scouser, so she kind of talks like that. It's kind of hard to follow.
It's like reading that Scottish Twitter stuff. It's just like,
you're just like,
there's no sentences, there's no grammar.
It's just different slang and it's a different way of talking. Like, but yeah, so she was putting up these, and then she has pictures of her baby up, who I'm not sure the age, but whatever age the baby is, it matches up to when he was in Liverpool.
Okay.
So, 8-9 months, so it matches.
So she's alleging, obviously, that this is his baby.
And what people began to do then was take pictures of Connor Jr., Connor's baby, and this other baby, Clodagh, putting them together. And oh my goodness, they look like twins. I'm not even, they look so alike.
I did look the other day and I was like, ooh, especially when that little baby Connor Jr., who is so fucking cute, when he was a baby, because he's a bit older now.
They look so alike.
They did look very alike. Isn't Dee pregnant?
Dee is pregnant with her second, now, obviously, Dee must have been aware of this. The girl was tagging her.
And she blocked her, right, as well. That was another thing she was sharing.
She screen grabbed that Connor's mum has blocked her, Connor has blocked her, Aaron McGregor and Dee. So they were. She screen grabbed that they were all blocked. And she then screen grabbed a court thing, which was her name versus Connor McGregor. So it looks like she is trying to go down the legal route of maybe requesting a DNA or something like that.
And she posted, I saw, she's in Dublin now.
Yeah.
She posted like her flight Liverpool to Dublin today. So she's obviously going to file the summons him. Because she'd have to do that in Ireland, I presume.
Yeah.
I don't think they could summons him to
England. No, he'd have to. Yeah, she would definitely have to do it in Ireland. And so when I first started seeing it on Mazzy Drink and I just went onto her Instagram page, I didn't follow her because I don't always buy into that kind of stuff. Like, I think I saw like loads of my friends followed by But and she had 6,000 followers. Then I went in today to check again, you know, looking for that goss. 16k, but
Shut
she was
up.
Private, and I was like, oh no,
oh no. I followed her from the old shared burner.
Thank God. Okay, because randomly my Instagram won't let me follow people sometimes.
That happened to me last week, conspiracy time.
Oh my goodness, it's so annoying. So anytime I try and follow someone, it says action blocked, which is really awkward when like an old friend of mine tries to follow me or whatever. So I couldn't follow her and I was like, oh. So I knew one of my friends had followed her. I was like, here, is there any updates? And she was like, she's deleted everything from yesterday.
Oh.
But she put up some kind of Snapchat or some Insta story where it kind of looked like she was in Ireland, but she had deleted everything from yesterday. So it's just interesting.
It's just interesting, like, gossip. I get celebrities just can kind of feel so untouchable sometimes. And when you do see a, like, normal person from the normal world, like, with this coming out, because, like, as you were saying, like, this has been on F104 and, like, big kind of like a lot of people are talking about it now.
It hasn't got like virality yet, which is interesting because it's kind of like, whoa, this is big. How is this not now
I guess what it is that, I mean, we're obviously saying this is all alleged, like we have no idea, but if
we're just speaking about what we've seen on Instagram.
I guess if you're like a newspaper, if you put anything in print, like Conor McGregor could sue the absolute ass off you.
So. Do you think? I feel like they do that stuff.
Not about that kind of shit. I think that, I think that would be like,
I guess there's something, It's interesting because obviously she's been vocal about this since she got pregnant. Yeah. So Conor would have been aware of this. Yeah. And I'm interested in the fact that he clearly hasn't done anything about it. You've heard about this stuff with celebrities in the past, even like Eddie Murphy and Mel B paid her off. That happens a lot. You hear like rumors about celebrities.
Mel B has a baby with Eddie Murphy, does she?
Mel B and Eddie Murphy, yeah.
And what, he paid her off not to say it's his?
No, but they got the DNA. He first was denying it.
Oh,
and then they
got
the DNA, and then he was the father, but he just denied wanting to have any relationship with
her. Oh my God, he's not an idiot. That's such a cool little couple baby to have.
And he, so obviously they just came to some kind of agreement money-wise, maybe that he has to give every month or whatever. But
yeah,
he just
said
like an NDA,
that he wants nothing. It's like no talking, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, she doesn't really talk about it, but it is just, it came out in the paper that he was the father after denying it. But so that's what I'm kind of surprised at. I would think that when something like that would begin, that Conor didn't protect himself in the way that, like, I mean, I'm surely he would have been able to, I don't know, go to the courts or whatever and get something in paper that she isn't able to, like,
all he could do is give them an NDA. It's like it's a cease and desist. It's just a letter from a lawyer saying, please stop talking about me. There's nothing you can do. It's free speech, baby. Like, people can go on and say whatever the fuck they want. Yeah. And unless they're fully, like, doing something that you could sue them for. I don't know.
But even if it was a thing where, like, they decided to quietly do the DNA behind closed doors and then figure it out if he was the father, that then if he agreed to a certain amount of maintenance that she wouldn't talk about it or something like that.
I guess he's just sticking to his guns that it's not him. And he probably was just like, maybe he just thought that, like, if he gave it weight, it could get legs. I don't know. But, like, I mean, I guess it's one of those things that it is crazy how quick that can catch on. And
I kind of, it's just
especially
interesting
someone from
how
Liverpool, it's interesting how, like, she was able to kind of cut flames over in Dublin. You know, that way, like, that.
Mm-hmm.
She surely doesn't know anyone.
She's actually on Massey Drink and has commented on posts before about it.
She probably found it through something. I don't know. That's mad.
It's also interesting, I find, to see someone, obviously Conor McGregor is, you know, you'd consider untouchable. He's huge. He's massive. He gets away with a lot. Like, stuff with Conor McGregor has gained so much attention, like, within, like, Irish WhatsApp groups and that kind of stuff. But it never really migrates to the actual Daily Mail or something a bit more public or the news unless he does something very public, like when he smashed the van and that kind of stuff.
UFC bollocks.
But this is just interesting to see someone like Conor McGregor, who's obviously, you know, huge, wealthy, famous, and someone who's just the opposite of that. I don't know if she's wealthy or not, but she's just obviously a normal girl, doesn't have a massive following, doesn't, and she's trying to probably, like, we don't know in any way, no one knows if they had sex or if it is his kid or if that possibility is there, but that she's trying to, it's just interesting to see someone trying to kind of scramble for some form of, like,
relevancy.
Attention and relevancy publicly via her Instagram platform. And it will be, like, it will either come to a climax where it comes out and they do the DNA and it's,
I don't think that will come out,
really.
No, I think if they do a DNA, then they'll give her an NDA.
Yeah.
Which is a non-disclosure agreement, and she can't talk about it 100%. I'd say that's why she's deleted everything. She's probably realized, she's probably got under the skin a bit, and now has realized if she actually wants to get anywhere with this, if she wants them to agree with her, as in, like, she wants him to
be on her side in any way,
just in any way cooperate, blasting him on the internet's not going to help. Like,
well, I think it helped in the way that maybe it got her a bit of attention from them.
But that's what I mean. She got under their skin,
you know,
but now
it's threatening to be like, I'm not afraid, you're not going to scare me.
Totally.
I'm going to use my small platform. And
but what I mean is that, like, I think she, that's what I mean. I think, like, now she's kind of like,
to come back.
She did a performance on the X Factor, which usually I would not give two shits about, which I still don't really care about. Like, when everyone was going on about the video. I just can't care. I don't watch X Factor, so I don't really care about your one Cheryl. But then I read something, you know, maybe on Twitter, if someone likes something, it comes up in your timeline. Mm-hmm. Something from Image Magazine came up, and I was just like, oh. Do you ever find just like there's some magazines that just get under your wick? Get on your wick, as my dad says. Just mm-hmm. like overly like feministizing and like just everything is like,
there's a few magazines where I can just see they're so like up certain, like
they're trying to be like,
it's like they're trying to be relevant by just regurgitating the same shit and being like, they're literally looking for the retweets, the comments underneath to be like, yes, 100% this,
totally.
Women support women, just the usual typical kind of like using anything that's getting heat in the media and turning it into the descriptory of like basic, you know, middle class modern feminism.
Yeah, totally. So they had a title of this article, and it said, in quotes, "If you're a woman in the public eye, the message is this, that you must accept and live with the consequences, no matter how severe, no matter how they might rip your fragile self-esteem, your sanity into shreds." Like, could you be more hyperbolic? Like, that if you are a celebrity, you have to accept and live with consequences, no matter how severe.
Image is saying this? Or was that an extraction from Cheryl?
No, it's a quote from their article.
Oh, okay.
It's the copy for their tweet. But it's like, are you joking? No one is saying that. Who is saying that no matter how severe the consequences, oh yeah, out on a bloody murder, just take it. No matter how severe the consequences, that is absolutely absurd to say. No one fucking thinks that. They go on and on to say, kind of talking about like how there's this like massive double standard, which is another like buzzword and like kind of neoliberal kind of feminism, where they're always talking about how like there's a double standard of how female celebrities are treated and male celebrities are treated. And it's like, okay, yeah, but like you could also argue that there's like way more kind of cultural currency into being a female celebrity. Like, you've got way more relevancy. Like, you know, tell me to name some of my favorite, like, you know, pop stars or musicians from like the last few years, and they're probably all women. Like, no one's like Nick Lachey. Oh, I loved him, you know.
Aaron Carter's a brilliant musician.
Exactly. It's like, you know, obviously there's like rock stars and stuff, but like, let's be real here. Like, it's way more
there's a lot more interest around females,
yeah,
a lot of the time,
especially nowadays. Like, I mean, yeah, nowadays,
because of this, because there's, you know, Ariana can release that song "Thank You Next" and it's like, yas queen, yeah, yas queen. Or Beyonce can be having like the feminism flashing at the background of her gigs and everyone's like, yas queen, yeah, yas. And it's just that same old yas queen.
But one thing they said in the article that just like pissed me off, they were going kind of talking about, their main point was that like, when a female celebrity has a slip up, people critique her way heavier, and that they have to pay a much heavier social fee, I guess, of like, they compared it to Ben Affleck when he was kind of carted off by Jennifer Garner this year.
Yeah, to rehab,
which we spoke about on an episode. I do feel it was an iconic celebrity moment. But like,
Hollywood.
Everyone pitied Ben. They're like, no, they don't.
What frustrates me with journalists at the moment is like, journalism has gotten so lazy and they're just plucking stuff like that. Like, there was all sympathy towards Ben Affleck. Where are you getting this from? Yeah. Where are you getting these apparent facts from? I want facts. If I'm reading something that is going to just be, you know, saying these points, such as like, women are stigmatized more, or women are dogged more in the media.
Statements.
Give me facts here.
Yeah.
Say like 70% of headlines last year were for women and against women, for example, these.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just don't make these sweeping statements. Like, again, even with the Cheryl Cole thing, where are they extracting their facts that she's been ridiculed from? Random Instagrammers who are commenting under.
I think they're talking about the press as well, which is also hilarious, when like the press have infights, when like the like nice middle class I always find it's quite classist as well. Like, I mean, I could be pulling on straws here, but I think there is something to be seen into it, where it's always the kind of like, oh, middle class, like Glamour magazine and Marie Claire and Image and Tatler. Like, they are always like randomly like sticking up for Pusher Cole. And they're always talking about how horrendous those disgusting magazines like The Mirror and The Daily Mail are, which is like more highly consumed by the general public. And it kind of goes back into talking about how we were talking about how Camille Paglia, one of our obsessions, talks about how, you know, working class people and people with working class interests are kind of used to a more brazen way of talking about people.
Yeah, they're not going to be getting knocked down if someone says your new song's crap, Cheryl.
Yeah, it's like how the Daily Mail, it resonates, and they know how to write for working class people when they're like, you know, same Cheryl Cole, like flashing her long legs. Like
I mean, it's the Daily Mail I find so enjoyable because they write in such a way, they don't, what they do purposely is they don't give a viewpoint. They write from a, you could say, neutral stance, but they will put these little phrases in that they use constantly.
Pert bottom.
Yes.
Is my pert favorite.
Bottom per postier. Or like they'll show, say, and they do it with male celebrities as well.
Yeah.
Where like, say, Ben Affleck a couple years ago, I think he was photographed on a beach, and they're like, Ben shows off his rippling abs. Now Ben clearly had quite a pot belly. So they do that. So the comments are then going to be like, rippling abs, excuse me?
Yeah.
And they do it for women as well. Like if she's clear, if a woman is clearly put on weight or something, they're going to be like, wow, Nicola Roberts looks fantastic flaunting her toned, tanned body when she's looking quite overweight and pale.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just...
They were like the busty beauty. Like they love alliteration. They always do that.
It's so funny. Or like there was a one the other day where Katie Price was clearly, she had called the paps. It was like... complete setup. It was like Katie Price and her new nanny, who I'd say is just a friend, it's Katie Price's friend's daughter, who she's definitely just trying to get in the spotlight, probably doing a favor for the mom. The two of them were walking around park. Katie Price is on the phone, and then she starts like pretending to cry, and the nanny's comforting her, and it's like, Katie Price caught breaking down after recent bankruptcy rumors and stuff. It was clearly set up to try and get the public to feel sorry for Katie Price after the whole coke thing and the car crash. Katie Price is now trying to, anytime she's with the kids, she's taking a selfie of her, like, you know, holding the kids, and the kids are swimming, and she's like, brilliant day out, bring the kids
Katie
swimming.
Katie Price Jordan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, son.
Do you know who I always get mixed up with? Jodie Marsh.
Yeah. She's kind of gone off the radar.
Yeah, she has.
Because Jordan was Katie Price's alter ego. Yeah. And when she kind of married Peter Andre, she was like, Jordan's dead.
Yeah, it's not Katie Price.
Yeah.
But like, I just find it so hilarious. Like, it's just such a moot point. First of all, to be talking about how like rich and famous celebrities are being treated in the papers. Like, I mean, as if the majority of them really care that much. Like it's just like so ridiculous. They all live off like any sort of like, especially tabloid attention. Like they all know the currency that
And especially
holds.
That's a lot of what has kept Cheryl Cole in the public eye. It's not
irrelevant.
Because of her talent,
yeah,
clearly.
Let's remember. So then, but then it's also like, you know, they're acting as if she went out there and gave Britney Spears Slay For You level performance, when it was even worse than Gimme More, because as you said, pointed out earlier, Lindsay, that like the Gimme More performance was at least coming from the place of like concern. Everyone was like, oh dear God, this woman is not well.
We're talking about Britney Spears when it was, I can't
VMA
remember what year.
They'll know what it is.
She's wearing the, like a jazzled bikini, and she's just
that
looking
she
not
demanded
her usual
to
self.
Wear it. Do you know that? That they had a different outfit, and she's like, she came in on Ambien and was like, no, I'm wearing this. She forced them to make her wear that.
And I remember, because that was, it was people were dying to see how the hair was going to look. Yeah. And I remember you could just see quite obviously these like orangey bleached roots being clung to this like glued in extension.
The dance routine, the people were literally moving her arms for
her.
Yes. Like it was cray cray. But like, I mean, obviously it was crazy, but it was, you know, I think that
again
the,
from concern,
the general consensus, I
she'd
think
had a massive breakdown.
Yeah, she had a literal
public
nervous public breakdown at the age of 27. But with Cheryl Cole, it's like, this woman's grand. Like, what, she had a few breakups and a baby. Like, there's nothing that big, not big of a deal for a multi millionaire. She also then comes on to like possibly the warmest reception for her ever, which is X Factor, where she worked for years
and she was loved there.
She was loved, everyone loved her, you know. It's also like,
and also that's a massive massive privilege that she has that platform.
Yeah, she can just totter in
because she left the music the music industry, I say that lightly, for 4 years, and yeah. now she's back and she releases this piece of crap song is somehow able to get it on, like, you know, one of the biggest shows I can imagine, like, for music anyway. That's still,
it's massive. Oh my
you know,
god,
keeping her household name and all that,
especially for like TV. Like, no one really watches TV anymore, but they watch
X Factor. Definitely isn't as huge as it was back in the day, but
people watch it. People, you know, definitely,
yeah, it
watch
still
it.
Would reach a lot of people.
But it's like, you know, the whole point of, like, I can't believe she doesn't pay the consequences. Like, sorry, if you were putting yourself out there as an artist, like, I would hope that we keep female artists at the same high standard as anyone else. Like, obviously, like, Cheryl Golding and Lol talking about her in this way, but, like, even for her, like, I mean, that was really bad. Like,
at the end of the day,
it was just shit. Like, I mean, it was boring, it was unrelevant.
Like, Fight for This Love literally looks like a masterpiece compared to this song. I'm gonna just grab up the lyrics, because I remember when I saw in Daily Mail just the screen grabs of the video, and she looks completely different, which is the first just shocking thing.
Yeah.
She's clearly got cheek fillers and whatever yeah. work she's got done. She hasn't disclosed anything. And again, she doesn't have to disclose something. However, it was I think, I can't remember if it was an interview or if she just came out and said it, she to cover up tracks or whatever regarding surgery. She said, since she had her baby, and celebrities do this all the time, which is so annoying. She was like, since I've had my baby, my face has just completely changed.
Wrong,
my
me
body.
Woke up, new face.
And it's like, are you, like, no, it doesn't. You don't just have a baby and look like you have cheek fillers.
Yeah, no.
And, like, celebrities always say that, where they're like, if they lose a dramatic amount of weight after having a baby and they're clearly, like, dieting or starving themselves, and they'll be like, since having a baby, I just haven't had time to feed myself. I've been running around, so busy as a mother. Mm. And it's like, no, you've just not been eating.
Remember, Peaches Geldof did that.
Yeah.
And surprise. It's like, no. Plot twist.
Yeah. Heroin. But so yeah, she came out with this song. I saw the screen grabs, like I said, and I was like, oh my God, I need to watch this video. And I was shooketh at the lyrics and how bad they are. I was like, hold on. 4 years of you being out of the music industry, and this is what you come up with.
You can afford, both publicly and probably financially, to get at least a semi-decent songwriter.
I know.
Like, I mean, at least hire Mark Ronson or something. You know what I mean? Like, buy one. I'm sure they have a few songs lying around.
Like, she clearly is still, like, on great terms with Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
Like, I mean.
So give us a few lyrics, because okay. we're running low in time, so.
Yeah, we are low in time. So, the chorus is
yeah, right. Take out the tissues,
love,
girls.
Made me do it. Hand in my heart. Love made me do it.
It's not my fault.
Myself. Yeah, and in the background, it's not my fault.
It kind of goes, love made me do it, and it's not my fault.
Yeah, love made me do it, and it wasn't my fault. Love made me do it,
and it wasn't my fault.
I'm gonna start. And where's the ink on the skin?
That's the start. It's at the start where she does the hand lick.
Yes, which was
that's
just
a divine
the cringiness.
It's like the first verse, because I literally cracked up laughing within the first minute of that song.
You pulled me in this mess. You got inside my head. Ooh. Somehow I still want you. You pulled me in restraints, locked me in my own brain. Somehow I still want you. Yes, girl. And then the feminists, I'm sorry, are standing up for this kind of lyricism.
Yeah, absolutely it's no prison responsibility.
Yes,
absolutely no.
It wasn't my fault. It was love made me do it.
Yeah, not my fault. Hee hee.
Like, love made me do it. I couldn't stop myself. His name is on that bullet, pleading sanity to it. Love made me do it. Love made me lose my mind. And I'd do it again.
Yeah,
so
I love that.
You've had so many relationships that have, like, been catastrophes, public, like, horrendous
yeah.
relationships.
Which obviously,
like,
can happen
bad
to anyone.
Bad mistakes,
but
which,
like,
you can admit.
Like, I mean, obviously anyone can have, like, a lot of shit relationships, but, like, she has very obviously made some, like, very questionable choices. Like, I remember with that Velasquez, Hernandez, whatever the
Fernando,
fuck.
Fernando,
yeah. She married him really
within
really,
3 months they got
three
married.
3 months. Then she was getting with the fucking kid. She mentored, like, it was yeah, just like
she met Liam when he was 12 years old. Now, obviously, like, he wasn't
yeah.
12 when she got
but,
with
like,
him.
But, like, I mean, he was, what, 25 when she got pregnant? He
I
was
mean,
young. Like, he was young as fuck. They're younger than me.
Yeah.
So, like, he was about 25, 26. Like, that's even just kind of, like,
it's just so irresponsible and boring. You're basically saying you've had all these public failures. No offense, Shezza.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, it wasn't me. It was love. And I do it again.
Yeah, I'm going to do it again now that I have a kid, and that won't fuck them up.
I mean, so what is the point of the song?
Yeah.
That, by the way, I don't want to be held accountable to anything that I've been doing in the public eye, because I'm just going to blame it all in love. I'm going to lick my horrendous hand tattoo that unfortunately doesn't remove with the lick.
Yeah, if only.
Please don't remind us that you have that permanently on your skin. Like,
okay, well, go off, queen. I'm excited to see where her lucrative career goes. And Image Magazine, please never stop. Please never stop feminizing, feministing.
And I'm just
stuff,
like,
because I know I say I hate it, secretly love it. I love getting enraged at your articles.
I just love the ridiculousness of the whole, you know, let's support women. How can you support a shit song?
I mean, support women, I like supporting lizards.
This song is shit, end of story. There's no coming back from that.
I mean, I think the general consensus is that it's shit. I don't think anyone's liking it.
I mean, there's no extraction that could make, I mean, it's shit down to the weird elephant boots she's wearing, the licking of the ink, the love made me do it, the face full of fillers that she's ignoring.
I think it's the bad one thing we could agree with the feminists is that that's a bad song. I haven't seen one person, except for Image Magazine and except for like random journalists who are trying to lick her hole, I haven't seen any actual person being like, yes, queen, what a good song.
No.
Everyone thought it was shit. So like, we got to wrap it up, girl. We got to wrap it up.
Okay, girls.
But we will be back next week. Go buy tickets to our live show. Love you, bitches. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.